All right, take your Bibles tonight, please. Turn to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. So, Jim, you're finding out it's not always easy just to stand up here in front of all these people and have it all come out right, is it? Yeah, I got a little warm up here. Yeah, it does that often, I've noticed. Yeah. Yeah. All right, John chapter 14. I want to read, let's begin reading, I guess, in verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus talking to the disciples, and of course the great chapter, 14th chapter, where he is telling them about going to heaven and coming back. We have Thomas confronting him, and you know, we call him Doubting Thomas, like he's the only one that ever doubted anything. When you get to heaven, don't call him Doubting Thomas. You know, he's liable to crack you one. You better not do that. Then the great verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Lord just continues to unfold great spiritual truth in this passage. Beginning in verse 15, he said to the disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you, what's the next word? Another comforter. So the Lord Jesus was a comforter, and then he said he was going to ask the Father once he had done his work and gone back to heaven. He was going to ask the Father to send another comforter. And of course, we know that comforter is the Holy Spirit. We know that because if you continue reading, he said that ye may be, that he may abide with you forever. I like that little word, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas Thaddeus. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. Now watch, this is my text. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now go back and get verse 25. These things which I have spoken, or these things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. So all the things that Christ spoke to the disciples, all that they heard him say, all these great things that he taught them, being yet present with you, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I read that verse earlier this week, and I thought, you know, I have never heard anybody preach on that. Look at what he said. I will bring all things to your remembrance. whatsoever I have said unto you. I want to speak to you tonight on remembrance. Remembrance. Keep your Bible open, please. And I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully tonight. I know what I want to say. I really do. I know what I want to say. And it may take me a little bit to say it, but I'm going to do my best to say it. So I want you to give me your undivided attention tonight and let God's word bless your heart. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon us. And Lord, we are thrilled for the opportunity now to hear the word of God. And Father, I pray that you will bless it in a mighty way. Father, fill me with your spirit and help me tonight. I need your help. I have a lot on my heart, a lot I want to say. But Lord, it has to be said just exactly the right way. And so help me to do that tonight. I pray that you will empower me from on high. And Father, just use the message tonight to maybe answer some questions and to help us in understanding the things of the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for our salvation and thank you for the Bible. And Lord, I pray now that that you will help us to understand your word tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. There are many things done for us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you read your Bible, you will find out that the Holy Spirit has a ministry of conviction. He convicts us. We all have experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I was so thrilled this morning. I gave the invitation, and a man that was in our service, sitting right back here on about the second row from the back, was under such conviction, and he raised his hand and looked me dead in the eye and raised his hand, asking me to pray for him. And so I did, and we sung the first verse, but he didn't move. And then I had him just play for a minute, and I talked to the congregation and just really was talking to him and encouraging him to come. And he, during the song, he had his head down in the hymn book. But when I was talking, he stepped where he could see me and was just looking right at me. And I made eye contact with him and to let him know that I was talking directly to him. And boy, you could just feel the Spirit. You could just see the Spirit of God working on him. And then as soon as we started to sing, his head went down again. And I said, why don't you come right now? When I said, why? He looks up and I had my hand up and he was looking at me and he kept looking. So I just motioned for him to come and he did. And he got saved right here on the front row. Amen. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not anything I did. It's what the Lord did. It was the Holy Spirit that draws and convicts. We know the Holy Spirit comforts. Boy, all of us are dependent upon that, aren't we? The comfort of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit encourages us and blesses us and draws us to the Father and guides us as we go through life. And then I want you to notice, according to this promise, and I've never seen this before, and maybe the reason I haven't is because verse 26, breaks in my Bible, and you have to flip the page to get the word remembrance. And maybe I just flipped through it and never, or I just wasn't supposed to see this until now. But I never noticed before one important ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think all of us have overlooked it. If you look at your Bible, it says that he shall teach you all things. Well, we believe that, don't we? I mean, how many times have you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit has instructed you as you read the Bible? You're looking for truth. You're looking for the way it is. And you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit gave you that understanding. Well, he's teaching you the things of the Bible. He said, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. That's amazing to me. He will bring all things. According to this promise, the Holy Spirit is used by God to quicken and to refresh our memory. Folks, this is one reason why I challenge you to read your Bible every day. Because you see, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to bring back to your memory the words of Christ. You say, well, I haven't heard Jesus speak. Yeah, you have if you've read the Bible. These are God's words right here. These are our Lord's words. And so as you're reading the Bible, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is He quickens and refreshes our memory. God uses the Holy Spirit to call to mind and make intensely real those things which we were in danger of forgetting. The Holy Spirit gets credit, I think, today for a lot of things that are not in the Bible's job description of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Lord did not send the Holy Spirit to do some of the things that men today say the Holy Spirit is doing for them. He does not deal with wildfire, as many give Him credit for. He does not deal with revelations and visions and so many things that He is that so many claim He is responsible for. Folks, I don't need any new revelations. I got enough right here I can't live up to. I don't need a bunch of new ones. I don't need any new words of knowledge. I got all the words of knowledge that I need right here. And the Holy Spirit is getting credit or given credit for a lot of things which the Bible does not tell us is the job of the Holy Spirit. We have God's revelation right here in this book. What we need to do is focus upon reading this revelation that came from God. We've got it. It's proven. It is pure. It has shown itself to be what it claims to be. We know that it's real because when you preach it, people are still getting saved. We know it's real. What we need to do is focus on reading what's in here and going by what's in here and not be so concerned with all this ethereal stuff that we have no control over. We got a book right here that tells us all we need to know. You hear these guys on television talking about God giving them some new word of knowledge or some revelation, which I've noticed usually ends up bolstering either their bank accounts or their egos. And yet when I read here in our text where the Lord Jesus promises the Comforter, I read that that the Lord said that when He comes, He will bring all things to your remembrance. Nothing new is imparted to a man when he gets saved. You don't get saved and all of a sudden know all there is to know about God. That's why Paul spent so much time teaching us how to grow as Christians. He talked about the carnal Christian and he talked about the spiritual Christian. And folks, it takes time to get from newly saved and carnal to spiritual. You don't get there overnight. It takes a while. I read that the Lord said that when the Spirit comes, He will bring all things to your remembrance. When a person gets saved, he gets the Holy Spirit, who then gets a firm grasp on that saved person's conscience and causes him to remember what he has forgotten about the Lord. For as the Scriptures tell us, in Christ we live and move and have our being. Now let me see if I can illustrate to show you the premise upon which I'm going to speak tonight. When I was in college, I knew that God had called me to preach. I knew I was supposed to be a preacher. So I chose to major in Bible. And then they asked me, said, what do you want to minor in? And I said, well, what are my options? And they told me my options. And I said, well, you know, I really would like to double minor if that's possible. And they asked me, said, well, that they said, that is possible. Why would you want a double minor? I said, well, I would like to double minor in speech and English. You see, I figured if I was going to speak for a living, I probably should learn how to publicly speak. Don't you think that was good? I mean, not rocket science here. And since all I spoke was hillbilly, I figured I should try to learn the language. So I said, I'll double minor. I'll minor in speech and English. Now, little did I realize that my English minor had really nothing to do with grammar. It had everything to do with literature and poetry and essays. And I ended up taking about 46 hours of English. Every now and then I'll flash it on you. You know, every now and then I'll say, yeah, well, Shakespeare said. That's because somebody told me Shakespeare said it. I really don't remember all that stuff. But anyway, I double minored. Now, I had to take my sophomore year. I had to take two English classes, 3-hour classes, one the first semester, one the second semester. One was on English poets, and the other was on American poets. I mean, just shoot me. That was brutal. I remember sitting there thinking, Wordsworth, what are his words worth? I mean, that was the sum total of what I got out of Wordsworth. I remember sitting there thinking, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, this poem is a Longfellow. That's about all I got out of it. And the instructor said, go home and read these poems. And then, in your own words, summarize what you think it means. Well, I would sit down and read it. And then I would sit down in a paragraph and write what I thought it meant. And I never got it right. I was always off. And I was struggling in that first semester class with English poetry. And I had a friend who my freshman year, this guy was in my prayer group. And so my sophomore year, he was now a grad assistant and was teaching English and teaching some of the very classes that I was going to have to take. And he and I were eating lunch together one day, and he said, hey, how's English poets poetry going? And I said, not good. He said, well, won't you stop by my office at 4? I said, well, I have soccer practice. He said, you want to flunk the class? You won't be able to play soccer. And I said, yeah, your point's well taken. So I went to the office, and there he was. And he said, Norris, I think I can help you with these poets. He said, you're looking at this all wrong. And I said, okay, help me with them. He said, Norris, you need to realize that these poets are speaking great and profound truths. Well, I think I knew that. My problem was I didn't understand their great and profound truths. He said, these guys are speaking great and profound truths, which really are an expression of something that all of us feel down deep in our soul. These guys just happen to have the intellect and the words to put their questions into poetry, into writing. And he said, if you will look at it, that each one is trying to ask a question. They're trying to find the answer to a question that all of us have. What you need to do is sit down and break each one of them down until you figure out what the question is. And once you know the question, then you'll be able to discern the answer. And I thought, you know, that makes perfect sense to me. And I started reading those poets in that light. I saw that they were just voicing some truth that was common with all of us. We all, at some time or another, ask the same questions. We're all searching for the same truths that will get us through life. I may not be able to express it like the poet or say it like the poet, but for some reason, they could use words and express it. And if he told me, if you just sit down and read that poem with that understanding, it will help you understand what they're saying. And I began then to appreciate poetry and a little bit, and the different minds and methods that those brilliant men used in order to make all of us think. Now, think of that example that I just gave you and relate that to this office of the Holy Spirit here. Look at your text. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. Now think of that illustration, that example, and relate it to the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Spirit does not come to give us new revelations and a bunch of silly wildfire. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes to bring to vivid and powerful remembrance the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to instruct me and to teach me and to bring back to memory that which I have learned of Christ. And in so doing, He touches and awakens all that is deepest in our souls. For Christ is the light of every man. Now, I think this specific ministry of the Holy Spirit was specifically highlighted a few times in the Scripture by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to use those couple of occasions, three of them, I want to use those three occasions where I think the Lord specifically targeted memory in somebody in order to get them where He wanted them to be. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, shall bring all things to your remembrance. The first one, and ironically, they sing about the prodigal tonight, is in Luke 15. Turn back there, please. And think of this principle now in the story of the prodigal. Everybody understand my premise? You understand what I'm saying? Say amen. Amen. All right. If you don't, say oh me. All right, good. You got it. Good. All right. That's my premise. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is said here by Jesus that He will bring to light our memory, the words of Christ. All right. Back to the prodigal. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Did you get that? Did you get that? I mean, memory played a huge part in our Lord's story of the prodigal son. Think of that young man. He's sitting on the side of the hog pen. He is feeding on the husks. There's no nutrition in those husks. The nutrition is in the corn. But they didn't feed the swine the corn. They were just throwing the husks in there. They were eating the corn. Remember, there's a famine in the land. They're just feeding the hogs the husks. And that boy is sitting on the side of the hog pen, and he's broke and he's hungry. And while sitting there, smelling like a hog and filthy from the hogs and his belly touching his backbone. I mean, he is sitting there on the side of that hog pen, and memory kicked in the way it used to be back at the father's house. And that is what moved him to go home. Now notice, folks, he didn't get any startling or unexpected news from heaven as he sat on the edge of the hog pen with his stomach touching his backbone. There did not flash across his starving soul some new revelation or some word of knowledge that he had never known or understood before. None of that happened. The only thing that happened to him was memory kicked in. And I wonder who pushed that little button for him. Amen. He remembered. He recalled. He reflected on what he already knew. Nod your heads. Do you see that? He simply remembered what he already knew. And it was then when he remembered that he said, I will arise and go to my father. I'm saying to you, folks, it was memory that drew him home. And that fact is very significant. Now listen, folks, what drew him home was not some new wildfire. Please get that point. What drew him home was not some new revelation or some new special delivery of a new doctrine. No, it was not the attainment of some new knowledge divinely imparted to him. What stirred him, what got him up, what got his feet running towards home was the fact that he remembered how good he had it at the Father's house. Maybe there's some prodigal here tonight who needs this instruction. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and you're starting to wander out in the far country a little bit. Oh, you're here tonight, and thank God you are. You probably were sent here by the Lord, knowing what I was going to preach tonight, as a warning for you not to make that journey into the far country. But maybe there's a prodigal sitting right here tonight who needs this instruction. You see, I think our Lord meant that whenever any prodigal starts for home, once he has left or starts from home, once he has left and has gone out into the far country and has ended up in the hog pen, he always comes back driven by the Holy Spirit causing him to remember. The sweet Holy Spirit comes and whispers in his ear, hey, son, remember. Remember? Remember that you have a heavenly Father who is waiting for you at home? Remember that when you were home and right with the Father, you had plenty to eat? Remember that when you were home and right with the Father, you didn't have the stench and the filth of the world all over you. Remember how happy you were in those days gone by when you were right with the Father. Hey, son, do you remember that? Well, I tell you, I see a lot of them out here in Westminster after 16 years. I see a lot of prodigals out here in Westminster. And boy, I tell you what, some of them don't look too good. Man, some of them look like the world just about wore them plumb out. Some of them look a little rough. And I just wonder, man, where's your memory? Where's your memory? You see, folks, this ministry, this office of the Holy Spirit is one of drawing us to higher things. It's drawing us to better things. It's drawing us to more noble heights. As we sit here tonight, would you allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to remember back when all was right between you and the Father? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to cause your memory to reflect back when you were working on that bus route, when you were out every Thursday night and you were knocking on doors and telling somebody about Jesus? Remember. Hey, here's a good one for you. Let the Holy Spirit tap you on the shoulder and shove you back a few years before you got offended at that last time, huh? Yeah, let him take you back to when you got your feelings hurt that last time. Because from that point till now, you hadn't hit a lick for God. But back before then, man, everything was all right in the Father's house, wasn't it? But then old Slewfoot got you. Yeah, he was waiting and he got you. And now you sit. You haven't done anything for the Lord in a long time. I'm telling you, folks, this ministry, this office of the Holy Spirit, I think is important. And I want you to sit here tonight and remember how happy you were in those days gone by when you were right with the Father doing what you're supposed to do. As we sit here right now, I want you just to reflect for a minute. Do you hear the Holy Spirit whispering to you? Hey, remember. Remember. Remember when? Secondly, go back to Matthew chapter 26. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, we're going to be in the last few verses of that chapter. So turn there. I'll have you look at it in just a minute. Secondly, I want you to think of this principle and the Apostle Peter. Simon Peter. I'm thinking specifically, as you'll see in this chapter, of that fateful night when Christ was arrested and Peter stood outside with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. And you know the story. This little girl remembered him. She remembered him. She looked at Peter and she said, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus simply turned and looked at Peter. And the scriptures tell us that when Peter looked into his eyes, that he went out into the night and wept. And what did Jesus use to break his heart and turn him back through his tears? What did the Lord use on him? Did the Lord use argument? No. Did the Lord use rebuke? No. There was not a word exchanged between them. Peter did not need to be convinced. Did the Lord use rebuke? Nope, not a single syllable of rebuke was spoken. Yet we all know that rebuke was definitely shooting from that loving look that Peter was given. That rooster crowing and that loving look that pierced into Peter's soul awakened remembrance in Peter's heart. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. In verse 9, it says, now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. You know what that means? He cussed. He cursed. I mean, can you imagine? It's unreal. I do not know the man, he said. You say, what? Peter cursed? Yep. I know none of y'all ever did that. But Peter did. He cursed. I don't know that man. Read on. It says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You and I would understand bewray, betray. You say, well, what do you mean his speech? Well, I mean, they're just like here in America, in Israel, folks in one part of the country have an accent different than folks in the other part of the country. And he had a Galilean accent. Well, you're not from Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem when this is happening. You're not from here. You're from Galilee. You are one of his disciples, aren't you? Look at that. Then began he to curse and to swear. Oh, mercy. Peter, what's wrong with you? Saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. The old rooster crowed. You remember the Lord said before the cock crows three times, Peter, you're going to deny me. Boy, sure enough. Sure enough. Now watch verse 75. What Jesus used on him? What Jesus used on him? Look at it. And Peter, what's the next word? Remembered. What did he remember? The words. There it is. Same thing that's recorded in John chapter 16. You see, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's the one that comforts us. He's the one that causes us to remember. But remember, the Lord Jesus said, I'll send another comforter. The Lord Jesus was Peter's comforter. And the Lord Jesus stirred the Apostle Peter's heart. What broke Peter's heart that night? It was the swift and anguished surging up of memory. In his panic and fear of being discovered and found out by one of the maids, he was brought back to reality by remembrance. You see, the Lord Jesus said, I'll send another comforter, which means that before the Holy Spirit came, he was the comforter. When he left and the Holy Spirit came, he was the Spirit. And he brought all things into remembrance for Peter. Oh, dear friend, listen, the next time you find yourself all swallowed up in the world, the next time you find yourself all swallowed up in sin, the next time you find yourself all swallowed up in fear, as was the Apostle Peter, the next time you find your heart filled with fear instead of faith, don't be surprised when you suddenly start remembering the words of Jesus. And the reason that it comes flooding over your soul is because the Lord is using something called memory, which he created in you to stir you back to him. There's a third time. Go over to 1 Corinthians 11. Look, please, at verse 23. The Bible here said Paul was giving instruction to the church about the Lord's table. And he says, for I have received of the Lord. Paul said, I got this from Jesus. That which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me. He said in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. Lastly, I want you to think of this principle and the Lord's Supper. You know, I think it's a shame that so many churches and believers come to the table of the Lord and it's just sort of tacked on at the end of a service. Did we really give it what I think our Lord meant we were to give it? I don't know. The Lord Jesus has as much, he has a much more significant purpose for this little acted out parable than I think any of us realize. Truth is, the Lord's table should be a profoundly moving time for every believer. Why? Because we're taking some time and we're remembering Christ. So I wasn't there. No, you weren't, but you can read it right here. This is accurate. Through the years since my mother passed away, there have been times where I have missed her more than others. And those of you that have lost a parent, I think you can understand that. Through the years, there have been times where I've missed her more than others. Through the years, looking back on it, I can see these times. there have been times where I've just sat and thought about her and just remembered. I remember her loving me as a child. I remember sitting on her lap and her soothing away the skin knee pain. I remember just this last week, Braden lost one of his front teeth. And when he came after school, he came running and smiling from ear to ear. And we had a ball. This tooth fairy is going to bankrupt me. It's going to be, how much money do I get, Papa? So I pull out my, and all I had a 20, a 10, and a 5. I gave him the 5. How much money do I get, Papa? And I'm sitting there counting. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Man, I got 5 grandchildren and then one on the way. I'm going to have to get a loan before this thing's over with. And my mind went back. I came back, sat alone, and I remembered in the first grade when I lost my first tooth. And Mom pulled it. Mom pulled it for me. Yeah. I remember that time where she thought she could save some money if she bought those clippers for a haircut. She was going to give us a haircut. I was in about the 4th or 5th grade. And I remember her saying, uh-oh. Those were words I did not want to hear. And I remember then her going to get the phone book and looking up Gibson's Barbershop. And I remember her saying, yeah, we'll be right there. That's what I heard when I came in from the bathroom to see what she had done. And she said, don't worry, we're going up to Mr. Gibson's. He's going to cut it. He'll trim it up for you. And then I remembered again when I was about a sophomore in college. And it was time to go back to school, and I didn't have time to go get a haircut. And I knew if I didn't get a haircut before I went back to school, I'd get in trouble for going back to school with having hair that didn't check. And so Mom said, I can cut it for you. And I said, no, I believe that I've got pictures from the 4th grade that say you can't cut my hair. I remember that well. And I just think about her. I will forever have those memories, and nothing can take them from me. And folks, I think that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about memory. The Lord Jesus gave us the Lord's table for the express purpose of memory. This do in remembrance of me. Communion is a time when Christ draws near to us and we are all made aware that He is near and present with us. Earthly things just kind of fall back into the shadows, and the things of heaven become alive to us. Excuses vanish. We all know we're sinners. We all know that. And so it is a time where we're able to renew our fellowship. I mean, if ever our faith is real to us, it is real to us as we sit before God's throne with a reminder of the great sacrifice that He made to ensure our salvation. And if ever we are touched and moved as believers, it is at that moment when we are remembering Christ. With the bread, we remember what the Scripture says about His broken, beat, and bruised, and battered body. We didn't see it. None of us were alive then. But we can read it in the Bible. And in our mind's eye, we can see it. Memory. Memory. God's Spirit then speaks to our hearts. God's Spirit speaks to our spirit and assures us that I am His and He is mine. And it is then that heaven touches our hearts and divine fellowship arrests our attention. All done by the work of the Holy Spirit because we simply remembered. We remembered. And folks, don't forget this important point. Now stay with me here. Here, this ought to nail it for you. Don't forget this important point. At the Lord's table, none of us get anything new. Huh? None of us get any revelation while we're set. We got the bread. We don't get any revelations. We don't get any words of knowledge. We don't get anything new. There is not a new revelation given to a single one of us. We don't get anything that is not already revealed to us in this book. So again, you and I can see how the Holy Spirit is doing exactly what Jesus said He would do when He would come. He would comfort us by bringing all things to our remembrance. And we're to remember our Lord's death until He come. Folks, I hope you're able to see the importance of this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you sit here tonight and just take a minute and remember back when you first got saved? You remember how on fire for God you were? Remember how you couldn't wait to get to church? Remember how you couldn't wait to read the Bible? Remember how you couldn't wait to get to visitation so you could go tell somebody about Jesus? Remember your eagerness to learn the Bible? Remember that hunger and thirsting you had for the things of God? Remember your desire for the truth? Remember how you wanted your family to believe the way you believe? Do you remember that? Remember? Remember how you wanted your family to get saved? Hey, remember? Remember? Do you remember? So let the Holy Spirit draw you to the Savior's side once again. Let the Holy Spirit draw you right up there real close again. Right now, He's tugging at your heart and saying, hey, remember. Because that's one of His offices. He causes us to remember the words of Christ. Folks, now you can see why there's not a Sunday. I can't remember a Sunday. There's not a Sunday pass where I don't stand up here either in the morning services or in the evening service and hold this old book up and say, hey, folks, read your Bible. Why? Because you're putting the words in here and that's just fuel for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. D.L. Moody had in the front of his Bible, he said, sin will keep you from this book. Or this book will keep you from sin. I guess it was backwards. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Read it every day. Because with each and every passing day, you're putting more of the words of Christ in your head. Then that's more for the Holy Spirit to use. As He does His work of causing us to remember the words of Christ. Remember.